Good morning. Great to see you. We have a great group together this morning to honor God, to praise Him, to thank Him, and to be encouraged by Him, and to be encouraged and taught, and hopefully we will leave better people because of the opportunities that we have to be together this morning. I am hoping that you have picked up one of these. This is the first Sunday. It's not the first day, but it's the first Sunday of this quarter of our daily Bible reading. We sing often a song, especially with our young people, listen to our hearts. And we want God to listen to us. We want God to be in tune with the songs that we sing to Him every day, the praise that we give Him, the pleadings that we have with Him, the honor that we want to bestow upon Him. And we have the opportunity every day, whether we follow this outline or not, we have the opportunity to listen to the heart of God. That's what you do when you read the Word of God. They're not just words that are like any other words in any other book. They're words from the heart of God, from the mind of God. And so we want to listen to the heart of God. We chose as a theme for the year Hebrews 6 and verse 9. In the English Standard Version, it says, "Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation." We want to be better people. And our elders are encouraging us to be better in different ways. Better in the family. And this quarter, better in the church. And as we think about better in the church, we want to think about families. Because the church is our spiritual family. Richard read for us a while ago the passage that will highlight this quarter's reading. About being who we ought to be in God's family. And it gives us a concluding statement of some wonderful things that we can learn about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When we start thinking about the reasons for the conclusion that is drawn at the end of this chapter, here are some, not all, but some of the reasons for the conclusion that the Apostle Paul gives to us at the end of chapter 15. We have the heart of the gospel. God is presenting to us a message that constantly refers to just what we observed a little bit ago in the Lord's Supper. The death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was taught. That's what Paul preached and taught to everybody. And we need consistently to be involved in thinking about the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because in verse 17, Paul reminds us as we listen to what he wrote to the Corinthian church. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, it's in vain, it's empty, it's meaningless, and you are still in your sins. Because of the death of Christ, because of His burial, because of His resurrection, right this day, people in this room and outside of this room for that matter, who are in Christ because of being baptized into Christ and accepting and obeying the message of God, you are not in your sins. And the focal point of that is the death and the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. His being placed in that grave and being risen on the third day. What a great day. Why is that important to us? Well, verse 52 teaches us that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. If that's our lot, if the Lord came this moment, that's what would happen to us. We need to be thinking about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. We're going to be raised. And if we are still in our sins, death has a horrible sting. We need to think about it. We need to plan our lives with that view. But verse 57 says, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Why? Well, the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But that's not something we have to be overly concerned about. Concerned about enough to be involved in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ by dying to our sins, being buried with Christ in baptism, and being raised a new creation. We need to be that concerned about it. But to be worried about being raised and left in our sins, God says, no. Thanks be to God. What a great victory we can have in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we have that message that is there on the screen in front of you, and there are other points that you possibly would have put up there if you had been speaking and presenting why we have the conclusion. Therefore, verse 58 says, because of all of these great things that we've listened to and that we've thought about our sin, we've thought about the tragedy of being raised when the Lord comes again to face God in our sins, and we have moved to do what is necessary to remove those sins. Now, what is the conclusion? Well, as we look, it's a pretty simple conclusion. First of all, Paul says, because of that victory that you can have in Christ Jesus, you do not have to be concerned about being raised and still in your sins. Be steadfast. Well, what does that mean? I thought about verse 23 of Hebrews 10. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Do not waver. Don't let all the pressures and problems and temptations and trials that come to us in this world, and there are many, don't let them cause you to waver in that confession you made to God. You said to God, I'm wanting to turn away from sin. I do not want sin to dominate my life. I am giving my life over to you, and therefore I'm willing to die with you and be buried with you and be raised with you to walk in newness of life. Do not move from that confession that you made. And the profession of that faith lived out in your life is what God is talking about through Paul when he says, be steadfast. Well, when you read, be steadfast and immovable, it seems like Paul is saying the right thing. But as people study these words, there are differences in the words. One writer said that steadfast emphasizes the aspect of steadiness. You stay on this path. Don't let anything cause you to waver or move off of this path. While immovable emphasizes the aspect of faith that will not be shaken even in the worst of circumstances. Life has some hard days. Life has some sad days. Life has very difficult circumstances that come to all of us. Will you be steadfast and unwavering in your faith when life comes and just punches you right in the face emotionally? Will you be immovable? You be steady like a rock, as you will not let anything move you. Lots of things can move you, young people. Whole lot of things. Relationships that you would like to be involved in. Activities you would like to be involved in. There's so many things that can move you from the faith that you've been taught, most of you, from your birth up until this day. Stay on track. Don't waver. Do not let the circumstances of the world, those of us who are older, wow, we have all kinds of things that get us and move us if we aren't thoughtful and if we aren't careful. But God wants us, if we are going to be faithful to Him, to be steadfast and immovable, and then always. But Lord, you don't know what happened to me today or yesterday, or what is going on in my life now with a serious illness or the illness of people that I love or circumstances of one kind or another. Lord, you just don't know. I don't know. The Lord does. So be steadfast, immovable, always. There is never a time for us to stop doing what God would have us to do. Never a time when God would have us to stop doing what we ought to do. My mom was an extremist, I have to confess. My brother, my oldest brother, was killed in an automobile accident when I was 11 years old. At that time, the custom was to bring the body of the deceased into your home. Didn't set them up at a funeral home, but in the home. And so as an 11-year-old, I experienced my brother's body being brought by the funeral home, set up there in our home, and people came to our house for visitation. It was a Wednesday night. My mom got my older brother to get all of us younger kids to take us to Bible class. Wow, that's an extremist, isn't it? We can't even imagine a mama that would be so hard and so hard-headed and so dogmatic. But I think my mom was wanting me to learn this point. There's not ever a time when it's okay to stop abounding in the work of the Lord. What does that mean? Well, it means to go beyond ordinary standards in working for the Lord. It's not about just doing what you have to do. Well, I don't have to go tonight, or I'm on a trip. We just go on and on with reasons why we stop doing what God would really want us to do. I have tons of pressure in my life, therefore, I don't need to worry about you. Always abounding, going beyond ordinary standards in working for Christ, not just to the standard, but abounding, going beyond that standard. We don't count the number of Bible studies that we do. We don't count the number of prayers that we offer. We don't count the number of people that we visit. We don't count the number of times we go to the nursing home or the hospital. We don't count those things. And we don't number or measure the work that we do for God in that sense. What we do, if we are going to be what God wants us to be, in view of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, in view of the fact that unless we pay attention to that and unless we obey God, we're going to be raised in our sins. And God cannot deal with us the way we want Him to deal with us if we are raised in our sins. And so we abound in it. When do we abound in it? Always. And one of the reasons we can do that is that because of the one telling us these things, giving us our marching orders, if you will, giving us a way of life, telling us how we ought to live, showing us how we ought to live, we can know that everything we do in our efforts with the Lord is not going to be in vain. It's going to be helpful. It's going to be something that God notices. It's going to be something that will be meaningful to us. We are working for the best purpose we could ever find. Ever find. It's a spiritual purpose. It's not about a bigger house, not about a better job, not about the kinds of things that our world sees as being super successful. It's about living a life that is meaningful right now so that it will be meaningful when we are raised to be with God forever. That's what we want. Doesn't matter what age we are. We've got people all the way to almost 95 years old, a couple of them, to little babies in the nursery. Every one of us will be raised. Every one of us will need to be thoughtful about our spiritual, eternal, godly purpose, way beyond the things that we focus on for ourselves. Through Jesus Christ, we can have victory over death. None of us, even those sweet, precious babies in that nursery back there and in our baby land, if you will, they will not be able to avoid death. Neither will our 95-year-olds. They know that better than you and I do. But what we don't have to worry about is death costing us. We can have a victory over death. This passage, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, should instruct each of us concerning our lives and give us a godly way of living life so that we can measure our lives to some degree. You see, I know when I sit down and stop abounding. I know when I sit down and stop working at all. I know when I need to be better, when I need to be different. I almost always know. There may be some exception, but God has given me a measuring stick. Therefore, be steadfast, unmovable, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor, my labor, will not be in vain. And so the Lord wants you today thinking about his death, his burial, his resurrection. It's hard to be steadfast and immovable in the ways of the Lord if you do not listen to what he says about you being involved, about you being buried with Christ in baptism, raised from the dead spiritually to walk in newness of life. There perhaps are people in this room who need to do that. It may be that you've done that. You were born into God's family, but you really need to be better in the family by paying attention to God, by worshiping as God would have you to, by living life every day as God would have you to. Wouldn't you want to do something about that? Those of you who need to be born into the family of God, those of you who need to be better in God's family, wouldn't you want to do something about that? And if you believe it would take a public response to help you with that regard, we pray you'll do that as we stand and as we sing.